Hey guys! This week's episode is brought to you by Modzy, who can take the guesswork out of design by creating a lifelike 3D model of a room in your home, decorated with furniture from hundreds of real stores. Check out how it works at modzy.com/YHL. That's modsy.com/YHL.
I'm John.
And I'm Sherry.
We like home stuff.
We like talking.
And we like the occasional game show sound effect. So welcome to Young House Love Has a Podcast, where we have deep and not so deep conversations about DIY, design, and life at home.
Today we're sharing what we'd change about our $4,000 backyard wedding if we had to do it all over again. We're also revealing how we celebrated a milestone anniversary and what home item we're arguing over this week.
Hi everyone.
Hello.
And happy 4th of July to all of my fellow Americans who are out there celebrating in their red, white, and blue this week.
And happy 4th day of July to everyone, because everyone believes in July in all countries.
Right. Anyone can celebrate. But actually, Sherry and I are celebrating something else this week. On Friday, the 7th, July 7th, is going to be our wedding anniversary. And not just that, it's going to be our 10-year wedding anniversary.
Boom.
So
you're going to hear a high five. That's me high-fiving my husband for staying married to me for 10 years.
Congratulations to us. And we did something very special for 10 years because, I mean, that's a big one, right? Yeah. I don't know what the traditional thing is, but what we decided to do was to take a big trip.
We slipped away, just the two of us.
We took it last month while the kids were still in school so that the babysitting load would be a little bit lighter for our parents. And since our honeymoon was in Alaska, we did kind of a non-traditional kind of outdoorsy...
It was like an adventure honeymoon.
Yeah. We wanted to do something very, like, almost traditional this time.
Yeah, like, everyone else goes to an island.
Yeah, we wanted beachy, relaxing, you know.
We didn't want to fly for, like, 7 days and seven nights because we could only slip away from the kids for a few days.
Do you guys have any guesses? We went to Puerto Rico.
Ooh, ooh. It was amazing.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Neither of us had ever been before.
Nope. I had never even been anywhere in the Caribbean before, so it was a new experience for me.
And as a 14-year-old, I went to Jamaica and had the time of my life and still talk about it. So. Right. I do have very funny pictures from a 14-year-old doing Jamaica. There's a picture of me on a burro. I'm riding a burro
like
in a
bikini. Donkey?
Yep, a donkey with my braided hair, like with beads in it.
Well, for this one, for our trip to Puerto Rico, we just wanted basically to not overdo ourselves because we have this tendency when we go on any trip to like always go sightseeing and do all these things and really kind of exhaust ourselves. So in an attempt to force ourselves to just relax and chill out, you know, we don't have any kids to watch while we were there. We just found like a nice hotel outside of Old San Juan. We found a deal on Expedia. It had like pools at the hotel and restaurants. So if we wanted to, we would not have to leave the hotel grounds at all.
Spoiler alert, we have zero chill.
Right.
We could not stay.
No, we don't have zero chill, but we did do better. We had one day where we just basically like sat at the pool and read and ate food at the hotel. We did it for one day.
And then we're like, we did it. What else can we do?
Right. Well, so I would say we didn't go in with really any plans. Like we didn't schedule anything. We kind of went with the flow and we ended up by accident having what I would kind of call our adventure day, quote unquote, where we rented a car and drove about an hour west of San Juan to a town called Fajardo. And our destination was there because we had signed up for a night kayaking adventure.
Guys, it was so fun.
It was to this bioluminescent bay. We had actually gotten this recommendation from our son's preschool teacher because she had done it earlier this year. And she was like, it's so cool. You go out at night in these kayaks with a guide and you've got little lights on them, but it's pitch black and you go to this big lagoon where they have all these bioluminescent organisms in there. So if you agitate the water, they light up, like they look like sort of glitter.
And you can like splash your clothes and your clothes will sparkle if you're wearing black. Guys, you know I was fully
yes, it was
sparkling.
Wearing black.
It's really cool. And it's like 2.5 miles. So you go through this channel and it's pitch dark and there's trees overhead and there's nothing. And then you get out into the lagoon, which is really open. And there's just the light of the moon and the stars. So it's very dark.
Yeah. It was slightly less cool because of the moon. We had a full moon the night we were there. So they gave everyone a tarp to put over the kayak so you could see the light in the water better.
Yeah. But then we realized the moon kept going behind clouds. So there were moments without the
nature's tarp.
Yeah, there are moments without the tarp that we could stick our hand in and just watch it glitter.
Which I would say was probably the highlight of the trip for me.
Yeah.
The second runner-up to it, maybe a close tie, would be our, what I guess kind of turned into our cultural day.
John was my tour guide, yes. As you can tell.
I'm going to put a brochure together, guys. We ended up taking an Uber out to Old San Juan, which is like the historic part of the city.
It was like $4, guys. You can get around this island. I mean, we rented a car because we were driving really far to go to the kayak. But if you're staying in San Juan and you want to go to Old San Juan, it was $4 in an Uber.
Yeah.
Very easy.
And so we went to the two forts that they have there, the Castillos, which were beautiful. We took like endless amount of photos. 10,000
pictures.
Well, and then we walked through the actual streets of Old San Juan. And like, if you thought we were on a Colorful House kick because of our beach house.
Oh, it was so pretty, guys. There was pink, there was teal, there was yellow. There was, I mean, like the brightest orange you could picture, the brightest red you could picture. And it's like a box of crayons, beautiful, all with bright white trim. Every house was picture perfect. There were cars parked on every street, which was the bane of my existence, because all I wanted was like a pretty picture of the houses, but there was always like a car blocking the first story of the house. But we got some great pictures, I think. It was beautiful and scenic. And it felt, you're right, it felt culturey because we were among the townsfolk.
Well, it was the moment, I would say, where I felt most like I was not in the United States. You know, Puerto Rico is technically a territory. So like they use the US dollar. We didn't have to have passports to get there. Most people spoke English. I don't think I had to break out my very, very rusty Spanish, which was a blessing for both of us.
Well, it was funny to me when people said, hola, because they didn't know. Like, I was like, we're so American. You could tell us a mile away.
Yeah. I was hoping that I would be better at my Spanish and it would come back to me, but no, it did not happen. But yeah, we took 10 million pictures. Once we go through them ourselves, because we still haven't sorted them down, I think we probably should put this together into a post.
Yeah, there's so many fun things to do. On the last day before we flew home, our flight was at like 1 and we wanted one more adventure. Again, zero capacity to sit on a chair. So we stand up paddleboarded in this other lagoon with manatees. There were manatees in there.
Well, we didn't actually see them. We saw them in the distance. They're sort of
we saw the evidence
fish they were
them.
Attacking, I think, or something.
Yeah, they said agitated fish will look like a bunch of bubbles hitting the surface. It's like the manatee playing with them, yeah. But never quite got an eye
but
on them.
We're manatees. Still saying we paddleboarded with manatees.
They were in there. And we saw like a pelican swoop down. We saw one jellyfish, just one.
We saw lots of iguanas on our trip.
We did, big ones. And we kept sending videos back to the kids. We really missed the kids and it was just for a few days and it was great to get away, but it was really fun to come home to them. But I think now I want to travel with the kids, like I was saying, you know, ever since I read that book, I want to take them with us. And you could do Puerto Rico with kids.
Oh, definitely. There were lots of kids while we were there. I mean, the beaches were great. I think, especially as our son gets a little bit older, like he would have fun exploring. There are lots of parks and playgrounds. I have nothing but good things to say about our trip.
Yeah, it was lots of fun.
So we'll put a few pictures and links to some of the things we did or places we stayed in the show notes. But again, we will sort through our massive photos and put together posts so that if anyone is considering a trip, they can see what we did. I'm sure we did not do it perfectly, but we did it good enough for us. And happy anniversary, Sherry.
Happy anniversary, Hubs.
Where should we go for our 20th?
I know, we have to start planning 10 years from now. Maybe somewhere in Europe because the kids will be old enough for us to fly away for longer. Or we could take them with us.
We can go with them before our next anniversary.
And then sneak off for the actual anniversary.
Without them.
That's a good idea.
Well, not to kill the vibe that we've got going on, reminiscing about our trip, but I've got a quiz for you.
Back to work.
Back to work. So we usually call this part of the show What's Not, because I'm going to give Sherry a list of things in a certain category. Most are real, one is fake, and she just has to tell me what is real and what's not. And actually, since we're talking about colorful houses, this one is about colors. Did you know that you can trademark a color?
I mean, it makes sense. As a namer, I know you can trademark lots of things.
Yeah, so there are several companies that have trademarked their sort of iconic colors out there. I found a list on Mental Floss called 9 Trademarked Colors.
Okay.
And then I went on a hunt and found some more. For instance, like, what would you guess might be a trademark color?
Revere Pewter.
No, not a paint color.
Oh.
Like, Tiffany has trademarked their blue.
Oh, okay. So I know this, a little bit about this. So Nickelodeon trademarked their yellow.
It's orange and
whatever
maybe,
it is.
I'm not sure.
You know what? I know that.
You know what? I'll just give the examples. How about that?
Revere Pewter.
Let me name all the paint colors. I'm sure they're all trademarked.
That's what I really thought you meant.
No, these are companies. Like Barbie has trademarked their pink.
Okay.
Which means in court, if someone else tries to use that pink, for instance, Aqua, that group that did the song Barbie Girl, used the pink on their album cover and Mattel came after them.
Same pink?
Well, similar enough that they thought it might be confusing.
That's feisty.
UPS brown.
Okay.
So these are ones that are somewhat in the home DIY category. I'm going to give you five. One is fake.
Home Depot orange. I'm into this now.
Number one, Home Depot orange.
Believe it.
Number two, Target red.
Believe it.
Number three, Owens Corning pink.
Okay, they're that insulation.
Yeah, with the Pink Panther.
I believe it, and Pink Panther is very pink focused. Okay.
Number four, Post-it yellow.
Post-it yellow. Keep going. I'm thinking about that.
Your last one is actually a color combo. IKEA blue and yellow.
Blue and yellow, blue and yellow, blue and yellow, blue and yellow.
Nope.
You know what it is. Okay, I believe IKEA. You said Post-it kind of strange. Like, you looked at me all, like, crazed, like, Post-it yellow. And I thought, that was weirdly delivered. I'm going to go with Post-it yellow.
Post-it yellow, also known as canary yellow, is trademarked by 3M. Hey, and fun fact along with that, apparently they were originally that color because that was just the color scrap paper they had around while they were testing.
Huh. Then it's got to be Target red.
Nope. It's IKEA blue and yellow.
Wow, maybe because they're so around the world, they don't get trademarks in every country.
Well, and I should preface that I'm not entirely certain that it's not trademarked now, but I found an article from 2005 that said the European Trademark Bureau denied their request for it because they said the combination was not distinctive enough to be registered. And they also said that IKEA was not consistent in using the tone. So there were different blues and yellows in different places.
I think in 10 years, they probably earned that. And they've been very consistent with it lately.
But there are some companies that do trademark combos. Like, for instance, John Deere has trademarked their green and yellow combo.
That's cute.
Yep. Also, this one was funny. Wiffle ball.
Yellow and white.
Well, they've trademarked the yellow bat.
Oh, that's so cute.
So I'll put a couple links to articles in the show notes where I found these lists, and also they have examples of the colors along with some other stories and times that they had to go to fight in court to keep people away from using their colors.
Should we talk about how in Puerto Rico there are all these trucks around that said Target?
Oh yeah, wasn't it a rental car company?
Yeah, they had a bullseye. A bullseye. I thought, that might be infringing, but I think it's a different category.
Yeah, like for instance, they said Target couldn't go after like Coca-Cola or vice versa, because even though they might use similar reds, they're in different product categories.
Exactly. So if you're renting a car, you're not confusing it with a home.
Yeah, although the fact that this rental car company used the name, a bullseye logo, and red, I think probably is getting a little bit into a dicey area for them.
Someone from Target visits Puerto Rico and suddenly there's a lawsuit.
I mean, I literally went by and said, hey, they've got Target here. I was like, but for some reason it's in italics.
Yeah, it was like a strange font, but same bullseye.
Right, exactly. Just kind of slanted a little bit. Well, next up, in honor of our anniversary coming up, and it's been 10 years since we had our wedding, Sherry and I thought it might be fun to kind of look back and see what we would do differently if we were to get married today.
Yeah, for anyone listening who doesn't know about our wedding 10 years ago, it was before Pinterest. We had it in our backyard. It was under $4,000.
Yeah, let me paint the picture a little bit. We were 25. We had been living in Richmond for a little over a year. So we had just bought a house. We were not earning a whole lot of money. So like, we had to do it on a budget. And we also wanted to do it on a budget because neither of us really wanted to, you know, throw all of our savings into this event. We both did get small kind of like wedding gifts from our family, like funds to help do it. But we put them into the house.
Yeah, we got a patio.
Yeah, I think like my parents' gift went to getting us a patio on which we had part of the wedding. And then I think your mom's went towards the like driveway.
We paved the driveway. And to us, it felt like a good investment because then we could enjoy it beyond the day.
Right,
I think
exactly.
Both of us are so practical. The idea of spending $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 on one day when, you know, we had everyone there that we loved. It was still meaningful and sweet. And we were so obsessed with our house. It was fun to host it there.
Yeah.
Everyone got to see our house, all of our friends and family.
There's a full breakdown, a lot of photos from it on our blog. We did a post years ago.
Yeah, we'll link to it in the show notes. And if you're wondering how we did it so affordably, I mean, we prepped the food ourselves. We had family members manning the grill to heat it up. We did like blue cheese burgers and literally looked up a recipe and were adding blue cheese and making patties the night before our wedding. Like, we got
it was a very DIY wedding, let's say.
I made the table runners myself with fabric from the fabric store, and I frayed the edges and made little yellow table runners. We did not have any flower budget at all, except I went to the grocery store and I bought one bouquet of hydrangeas that I walked down the aisle holding. The rest, our centerpieces were just glass cylinders and we put lemons and limes in them. So it's very homegrown, except our one splurge was we rented a photo booth, which is really funny if you're listening now because you're like, oh, how novel. Yeah.
How 2007.
But the funny thing is there was not a photo booth rental place in Richmond. It was not a thing. But John and I had been taking photos in photo booths our whole relationship. So we thought that was meaningful to us and unique. And we made maybe 30 or 40 phone calls. Thought about driving one up from Northern Virginia.
Thought about buying one at one point, which was not a very budget-friendly idea.
It was a crazy idea. And then found this woman who was just opening a shop. And I think we were one of her first clients.
Yeah.
And she came, delivered the photo booth, stayed there manning it. So if it got jammed, she could fix it. And then we had a metal door on our garage that was magnetic. So we put a bunch of magnets on the garage door and just told everyone, like, when you get out of the photo booth, it gives you two copies of the pictures. Take one for yourself and put the other one on the door. And that ended up being such a great keepsake from our wedding because we made a big album just of all the strips that people left behind.
But I think we're doing a little bit too much recapping there. For the people who are familiar, let's move forward about what we would do differently. Because did you say it already? Our grand total for the event, not counting the driveway and the patio, was about $4,000.
Exactly. Under that.
Yes.
Squeaked in under.
Yeah. So I would say that if we were doing it today, like let's say that our wedding was this July, I'm certain we would probably spend more money because I would blame Pinterest.
Yeah. Well, there's just more pressure now. And I think the longer you're going to weddings post-Pinterest, you see the napkins and the signature cocktail and just like...
Well, there's just like a plethora of ideas out there. I mean, the same reason we all love Pinterest for our homes to get us ideas. I mean, if you're in the wedding business, like there is an endless chasm of ideas you could fall into and get wrapped up in and want to potentially execute all of. You know, we didn't have that crutch.
Yeah, I know. There was nothing.
Or that curse. I would say in general, I wouldn't change a lot about it at all because I think even though I'm sure I would do things differently now if I were planning it today, I think I can look back and say like, that's who we were at 25 and that's what made sense for us and that's what we liked. And I think it was a perfect encapsulation of us like starting our marriage.
Yeah, I agree. I love that day. So I'm not going to like poo-poo it.
No, but I would do some things differently.
Well, just, you know how we were saying over time you discover more and more ideas and then there's more options to you. I think when we got married, I hadn't seen a whole bunch of other people get married. We were one of the earlier couples of all of our friends getting married. And so after going to a ton of weddings, I was like, oh, that's really fun. That's really fun. But it was after my wedding.
Right.
So it was like the ideas were not presented to me yet.
Right.
But one thing I didn't realize how fun it could be, I think in my mind I sort of villainized this process, but you know how the bride gets on the dress and everyone gathers around and like you go to the bridal store with
you mean
all
you're
your family
hunting
and friends?
For it?
Yeah, exactly.
That sort of say yes to the dress process?
Exactly. I was like, ooh, I don't know if that sounds like fun because what if like your best friend's like, no, I like the other one and your mom's like, no, I like this one. And
you thought it would be combative?
I just thought it might make it harder for me to make a decision if I heard all these other voices because I, you know, at the end of the day, you want to pick your wedding dress. So what ended up happening is I bought a dress maybe a year before the wedding because I liked it. And it was like maybe $200 at Nordstrom's. And then by the time the wedding rolled around, I didn't really love it anymore because it had been like a year. So the night before, or maybe two nights before our wedding with my best friend, I was at just like a strip mall and we saw this really pretty satin clean dress, sort of less boho because I was like in the boho thing. And then a year later, I wasn't into the boho thing. And in hindsight, I'm so glad that we found that dress. It was $90 at Arden B. That's the dress I got married in. And I still have it. I ended up dyeing it and I can wear it to other people's weddings now. It's like a gray silver color. But one thing that when I see other people have the moment where they enter the room and the family's like, it's great. I realized that it doesn't have to be combative. It can be like harmonious and sweet.
Well, like you went with my sister when she got married last
year
to pick out her dress. And I think you really enjoyed that process. And it was like a moment where you're like, oh, that could have been fun.
Right. Like I think it was even fun just to attend it. So now that I have the experience of going with your sister and like seeing all the dresses, it was fun for me to judge.
If any of you listening are getting married, you want Sherry just to tag along to your dress selection.
I'm like the Paula Abdul guys. I like all the dresses. I'm not mean at all. I'm like, that one's a 10.
She's a little tipsy during the process.
That one is also a 10. It just was fun. And you know, the other thing I wished we had done is cake tasting.
Yeah. Well, that's why a few years ago for anniversary, I got you cake tasting.
I know. It was so sweet of John.
Even though we weren't buying a wedding cake.
It, again, was one of those things I didn't think I cared about. Like, who cares about that? But then 10 years of, like, Pinterest and watching Say Yes to the Dress and all these other things that exposed me to weddings more, I was like, oh, when they say, like, vanilla champagne, you're like, what? What does that taste like?
Well, I think my memory of the process was that you kind of brace yourself for how stressful it's going to be.
Right.
And that's, I mean, it certainly was stressful at times. That I think our mindset was to kind of like eliminate a lot of the extraneous sort of unnecessary ceremony
simplify.
Of it. And I think now we're not in the middle of the stress. We can see like, well, it would have been fun to do this part of the sort of process of planning a wedding, you know, because it doesn't seem stressful from this side of it. It just seems like I get to go eat cake.
But you know what? I think you can only do this in hindsight because I don't think you can tell which would be fun looking back and which would be a total drag looking back until you're looking back.
Right. Well, and I think the other thing that we agree we would do differently, or at least the way we would spend our money differently, is that we would hire a wedding photographer.
Yeah.
What we did do, because as some of you may know, our brother-in-law is a professional photographer. He actually shot our second book. So like his work is great. We have no question about his work. But I think the decision we made was, again, kind of a money-saving thing. He gifted his services to us as their wedding gift.
And we kept saying, but still, I want you to eat and enjoy the wedding.
He was still a wedding guest. So like we didn't have a full-time dedicated person documenting the event. You know, he took pictures during the ceremony. He got some of the surrounding like setup and the table decor and stuff. And we did have a few moments where we did like portraits with everyone, but I think we didn't capture as many photos because again, we didn't have a person, or sometimes don't people have like two or three people these days?
Well, I think that the best way to describe it is we got like 50 great pictures, but when you have a professional, you probably get like 700. Right. And not that you need that many, but there were moments I think would have been cute to capture. And also gearing up for the wedding, I didn't think through the like, I'd like to get some with my dad's side of the family, my mom's side of the family. We just kind of winged it and took like 6 pictures literally, and that was it, of family. And, you know, there were people there who aren't with us anymore. And I just really, I wished I had done like the whole group, you know?
Right. I think we didn't, again, sort of lean into the ceremony of taking photos as much as a lot of people do. I mean, you know, when you have a wedding where you've got time between the reception and like the cocktail hour or whatever, like the bride and groom go off into a field or a boat or whatever.
Now they're like doing amazing things. They're like in the street and it's a gorgeous picture downtown. The sun is setting.
And I think one reason we're also thinking about this is like one of our family members just got married recently and it was a very like kind of a picnic type thing, but they had a professional photographer. So they have all these gorgeous photos.
And like, I'm so jealous. And I feel like it's the thing how people say, well, my wedding was before Pinterest, so it was very different. I also think photography of weddings before Pinterest and after, and now with all these like wedding websites where people aspire to get their photos, I just think the game has been stepped up.
Yeah. Well, on a similar note to the photographer thing is I think I, had we had the budget, would have hired a caterer or someone to be in charge of food.
Yeah.
Because a lot of that fell to us. Like the morning of and the day before, we were doing a lot of food prep ourselves. Yeah. And so again, I think it turned out fine. It was, you know, not a stress at the moment really, but in hindsight, I think it stole away from some of those traditional ceremonies that you could have had of like, you know, getting ready together. Like I think I was showering like 30 minutes before people came.
Yeah. I remember being in the grocery store checking out with my hydrangeas for my wedding, and that was my only purchase. I'm standing there. I'm like, I'm getting married today. Oh, I'm in my jeans and I'm holding my hydrangeas. I'm getting married in like 2 hours. And I went home and cut the bottom of them off and wrapped them in a ribbon and I got married.
Yeah. Again, it all worked just fine. But I think had we not been like plating things before guests arrived and had not...
We had to switch dessert for food.
Yeah.
I remember that, like running in the house and being like, oh, here are the platters with the cupcakes. We need to bring those outside.
Yeah. I feel like it's hard enough for a bride and groom to like really kind of enjoy their wedding sometimes because of like all the greeting and making sure you talk to everyone and yada yada. But we had that on top of also like doing a lot of, I guess, the wedding planner type stuff throughout the whole thing.
One tip I heard that has totally stayed with me because I think it's really smart is to have a receiving line, because then you get to speak to everyone and feel like you said hi to them, so that when you're enjoying your reception, you don't feel like you have to go say hi to everyone again.
Because I don't think either of us ate.
No, we did not eat a single bite.
Well,
literally.
I probably ate a single bite. And I would say the last thing that I would change is that I would have better decorated our house.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Because
we wanted everyone to see our house.
Right.
And at that stage, it was a before.
And we were very proud of it at the time, you know, and because the wedding was at our house, it was all outside in the backyard. But, you know, people went in to use the restroom and we gladly were like, oh, no, go in, you know,
explore.
Look around. And looking back at how the house was at that moment, I mean, that was before our kitchen renovation.
Yeah.
I think we still had like a
plastic parquet floor in the den.
Yeah. And I remember actually we had wine crates as night tables, I think.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
The weirdest thing. Like cobbled from our life in New York.
Yeah.
Carried over for a very long time in our house. Yeah. In Richmond.
I don't know if we have any photos of that stage that I could put in the show notes. But again, I just wish, had we been presenting our house to our entire friends and family, that it had been a little bit higher bar.
Yeah, but you know what? I always tell people, don't wait to have your like housewarming party till the house is decorated, because you'll have the housewarming party.
This was not a housewarming party, Sherry. This was a wedding.
I know. I just want to encourage everyone. Your family loves you no matter what your living room looks like. And right. You know what? With all these things we would have changed about our wedding, it was a great day.
Yeah. Again, I don't look back on it with any like sadness or regret.
Good, because you married me and you're stuck
exactly.
with me.
Yeah, exactly. There's one thing I regret.
Your wife, Joyce.
I'll get to that in a second, guys. Well, again, we'll put links to our wedding photos in the show notes at younghouselove.com/podcast. So if you guys want to see some of the things that we were talking about or get any budget tips for hosting your own DIY wedding, they're still there. They still apply.
Yeah, I've heard of lots of people doing the same glassware thing that we did, where you just buy plates at IKEA and then you donate them after.
It was cheaper than renting them.
Yeah, I remember it was cheaper to rent them, but there was a cleaning fee. So the cleaning fee made it more expensive.
Oh, that's what made it more.
Okay. Exactly. So ask for all the line items on the fees, because you'll rent it thinking it's cheap and then it'll be three times as much. They're like, oh, well, there's a cleaning fee.
Well, I feel like we should return to our regularly scheduled non-wedding programming.
Yeah, there's not much more we can talk about, guys.
No.
It was not a very fancy wedding.
No. So we're going to get into we're digging, but first we're going to take a quick break.
This week's episode is brought to you by Modsy. You just send Modsy a few room photos and two measurements, and they render your room to scale in lifelike 3D, and they suggest two different design plans filled with real 3D products from retailers you already know and love.
And even if those two plans aren't perfect for you, you can virtually switch out furniture and accessories until you feel like they're just right. The entire service is just $69, and you can get 20% off with the code YHL20.
So if you've been stuck on a room's design, founder Shauna Tellerman explained how they've solved all sorts of decorating debates.
We were just speaking with a customer yesterday. So she and her fiance moved into a new apartment, and they had this couch that they had their eye on, and they have this beautiful view. And they were just trying to figure out how to optimize to look out the window, to also watch TV. And so they kept thinking of different arrangements, but they just couldn't land on one that they loved. So they used Modsy. They were able to upload their own couch that they were planning to incorporate. And we came back with two different recommendations, one that they had never thought of, and it ended up being the perfect arrangement for their space.
To get started on your own 3D room design, head over to modsy.com/YHL. That's modsy.com/YHL. And don't forget to use code YHL20 to get 20% off your first order. What if instead of the usual We're Digging music I played Here Comes the Bride?
That's my remix.
Remix. That's the techno remix.
So this week, I am digging more of a concept. It's a concept that involves actual objects. I'm digging the idea...
So you're digging objects?
I'm digging the idea of a new sofa. And the reason I say the idea of is because John and I have been full on debating. What I want to do is get a new sofa for our living room. We've had our IKEA one for about 6 years. We've had two children. We have a dog.
It's lived a life.
It's lived a life. And my thought was, we can move this to the beach house. It's not dirty. I mean, they're washable
slip
covers.
Yeah, no, it's doing fine.
It's great. But it's not like the final couch of my life, if you know what I mean. And so my thought was, why don't I get the new couch and this goes to the beach house? Because John's thought is the beach house gets a new sofa. And that makes me sad because I want the new sofa, not the beach house. I mean, I want, in an ideal world, we both get new sofas. But it feels like this should land somewhere. It still has some life left. So it seems good to send the cast-offs to the beach house.
Do you guys remember episode 52 where we talked about how you talk a spouse in or out of a purchase?
Yep, we're doing that.
This is something we've been engaged in for weeks now.
Weeks. And I keep saying, I think it should go to the beach house. John keeps saying, it's not a perfect fit for the beach house. I'd rather get something that fits the beach
right.
house.
I think that this sofa here, the IKEA one, is not what I would pick as my ideal sofa for the beach house. Like, I keep thinking maybe like a leather couch would be best for there.
I know. I think that too. But then I think wet, sandy people might ruin leather faster than in a dry. Like, our house might be better for leather. I'm not sure. And then do you really want to sit on leather when you're like wearing shorts, or does the leather like attach to your thighs?
That's true. Again, this is the debate we're having.
So essentially what I've been doing to sort of satiate myself is I pretend shop for a couch and I don't buy it. And let me tell you, there are some beautiful couches. I'm going to share four of my favorite couches on the market right now that if John would let me buy them, I would buy. But since I'm not allowed to buy them, one of you buy them.
Is this a campaign? Are you just hoping people will be like, yes, John, let her buy this couch.
No, but John's other good point is we have a three-year-old. We're not quite out of the woods where we get the nice couch, which I get. And I'm not trying to rush him to grow up. I love a three-year-old. I don't think he could handle a really nice couch unless we got a durable nice couch.
Well, and it's not like they do a whole lot of damage in here, but everyone eats on this couch.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's not pristine.
Yeah, there's some popcorn in it. You know, we have movie nights
here. I'm not going to look under the cushions right now because who knows. And so I just feel like I'm not ready yet to subject another brand new couch to that.
Yeah, John said it best when he said, I just don't want to worry about it, which I get. I never want our house to stress us out, either house, the beach house or this house.
If this one deteriorates over the next 1, 2, 3, 5 years, like that's fine by me.
Yeah, it's already lived a really long life. But now let me tell you the couches I love. Strange thing is that all four of them are from West Elm. I had a bunch of tabs open on my computer and didn't even realize the four that were my favorites were West Elm because there were other ones in between it. But the first one is called the Andes Sectional. The reason I like it is it has these like delicate, almost curved feminine, but clean and straight legs. And it comes in a lot of finishes. I would describe it as like crisp and fresh, and it could go in any house. I think it could go mid-century modern. It could go craftsman. It could go traditional. It's all that in a bag of chips.
So it could go in a beach house,
it could go in a beach house, it could go in our house. There's also, this is probably my very favorite. I was texting it to Jenny Comenda from Little Green Notebook the other day and just saying like, how good is this couch? It's called Harmony. It has these wood legs that run perpendicular to the length of the couch. So there's, it just appears to be sitting on two wood beams.
Like on the short sides of the couch?
Yeah. And the length of the couch sits on top of the beams. And it's clean, it's beautiful. And the thing I love about it is it comes in three lengths. So you can get a little bitty one, a more standard like 82-inch one, and then a 90-plus-inch one that's for a bigger space. I love that because I felt like a lot of times when I was imaginary purchasing a sofa, it wasn't the right size. The other one I love is called the Shelter Sofa. The reason I love this one is, guys, pay attention to cushions when you're looking at sofas. I seem to gravitate towards fewer cushions. So the Shelter Sofa, the reason I love it, it's one long cushion, which is so clean. There are versions of this at Restoration Hardware for like 300 times more. But that look of one long cushion that you can flip and it's just clean and beautiful and there's not a bunch of cracks for popcorn and stuff that the kids drop. I just really like that look. And then the fourth one I'm loving is called the Antwerp Slip Covered. And the reason I love that is if you're looking for something where you don't see the legs, it's not like a dumpy, frumpy, slip-covered couch. You wouldn't even know it was slip-covered except for the name. But anyway, I'm going to put links to the four of these in the show notes. I might even make a graphic.
I thought you were going to say, I might even purchase one.
Oh, I was going to say, I might even make a graphic. And then when John sees it in the uploading folder, he might want to buy one. It's all pushing towards getting a new sofa.
Yeah, we all are clear on what's happening here, everyone.
Well, listen, even if I don't get a new sofa for 3 or 4 years, I'm going to be super researched about it because I started now.
Well, we're
going
to have to get something because we're going to need one in the beach house.
That's true.
Whether it comes from our house or not, which it's not going to.
But then part of me is like, are these too nice for the beach house? That's the hard thing about the beach house. You don't want it to be too fancy because it needs to be durable, but you also don't want to make a big dump.
Here's my guess is where we're going to land with most of the furnishings is that we are going to get stuff that we like and is pretty and is nice because I think we ultimately don't want to shortchange ourselves and get things that are only there for function and durability. I think we want it to look good. We're just not going to buy the expensive version of those things.
That's probably true.
So we're going to find an affordable, nice looking couch. It may not be the cheapest couch out there or the perfect match for like a beach rental, but I think at the end we want it to look a certain way and we're going to hold ourselves to that.
That's how I feel about rugs. I don't want to get any amazing, beauty, expensive rugs for there because they're going to get wet and covered in sand, but I also don't want to get some crappy, boring like brown rug.
Right. You don't want to get just like a placeholder rug.
Exactly. But now this side note, I'm also digging the rugs at Target.
Okay. That one's on me, guys. I led her right to that. So I'm just going to quickly switch gears to my we're digging so we can forget this conversation ever happened.
Guys, I'm digging everything.
No. Well, actually, I'm digging something I want to buy.
Oh, the table has turned.
Right. I need to get a new bag, a new travel bag, not a suitcase, but like a messenger bag or a backpack.
You might call it a merce, a man purse.
Maybe a merce. Sherry and I have been talking recently about how it's so sad that me, a 35-year-old
grown man,
right, walks around to business meetings and presentations with his old college backpack.
It's an orange backpack.
Yeah, it's an orange JanSport backpack. I mean, talk about having lived a life. I mean, if you have seen us on our book tour or at any speaking gig, you may have seen me walk in with it, like strapped on like a little schoolboy.
Yeah, he does. He's always wearing the backpack. It goes to the airports with us. It goes, like, if we go to dinner before an event or a meeting, we go to dinner with it.
So I've been telling myself for years that I need to upgrade and get something that is more fitting of a 35-year-old person going on business meetings. But my challenge has been, and when I've sort of started actually moving towards actually buying something, is I don't want to go get like the messenger bag from Staples that's like all black and plastic, or like a corporate briefcase looking thing. Like, we work in creative fields, we're creative people. Like, I feel like I need to find something that's in that sweet spot of like professional looking, but a little bit fun and interesting, I guess. I mean, maybe I'm overthinking this. Yes, I'm overthinking this.
I think anything would be a step up from the JanSport.
Right. So I've been eyeing a few things. I'm going to put a link to a couple of things that I've been eyeing in the show notes, but I'm mostly bringing this up to ask for suggestions. If you guys know something that's been like a great bag for carrying a laptop in and like taking on a plane as a carry-on, but also, you know, having room for like a book and keys and like other miscellaneous things. It's mostly something that we use as our carry-on for flights, and also when we're going to like a speaking gig, so I can break my laptop out of it and plug it in.
Yeah, it needs to fit a computer. That's the rule.
One of the bags I was looking at is actually from the same company that I purchased a laptop sleeve from years ago. It's called Rickshaw.
Oh yeah, that's the most amazing sleeve. Guys, if you put your hand in the sleeve, you want to sleep in the sleeve like a sleeping bag.
Yeah, I'm going to open it now.
It's the softest.
Yes, the fabric on the inside of the sleeve is like, I
want to put my head in there. Yeah.
I want a Snuggie made out of it.
So soft.
But they sell backpacks and messenger bags too. So they've been something I've been eyeing a bunch. There also is a company I saw recently called Rareform.
Uh-huh.
And here's the cool thing about what they do is they make all of their bags and wallets and stuff from recycled billboard vinyl. So like advertising billboards that you'd see on the highway.
Are they crunchy?
I don't know. That's kind of my concern, is like, how does it feel? But it's kind of cool because they look almost just kind of abstract. It's not like you see like a big Geico logo on the back of your bag or whatever.
And are they all one of a kind? Like, they're actually made from removed? Oh, that is
apparently
really cool.
I always thought it'd be kind of funny because, like, we do work in advertising and, like, oh, look at me, I'm wearing an advertisement.
Yeah, you know? Either that or you'll hate yourself wearing it.
Right, that's true.
Walking billboard John.
But they might be a little bit too, like, colorful and backpacky and not professional enough. So I haven't figured it out. As you can tell, I'm overthinking it, like I said, and I am seeking your advice.
Part of me thinks a little bit of you might sob when the orange backpack is gone.
Should I just order another JanSport?
I just feel like the orange backpack at this point is like the blankie that we all carry around every trip. That thing's with us.
Oh, I'm still going to use it as my gym bag. That's okay. For sure.
It's a comfort item at this point.
Right.
Thanks for listening to Young House Love Has a Podcast.
And if you want to help us celebrate our 10-year anniversary, the traditional gift is tin or aluminum. And you know what has aluminum in it? Your phone.
Ooh.
So use it to show a friend, neighbor, or a friendly stranger how to listen to a podcast. Maybe even our podcast.
We also love hearing what you guys do while you listen. Like Lynn, who moved from Richmond to San Francisco to work for Google and listens while she rides the Google bus to work. A Google bus, you guys. They're so swanky.
And don't forget to check out younghouselove.com/podcast for all the bonus links, photos, and info from this episode, like photos from our Puerto Rico trip and links to our backyard wedding recap.
And pictures of the couches John's going to fall in love with soon.
Later.
Bye.
You know, Sarah.
Sarah? Did you just call me Sarah?
I almost said Sari.
Who's Sarah?
Sari. I misspoke.
Like Siri?
Exactly.
I don't understand.
It was a hybrid of Sherry and Siri. Great. Now everyone's phones are going off.